Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is Elements, our monthly bonus episode brought to you by our comradely Patreons.
That's not a word.
I said Patreons and it's patrons. Who support the show on a monthly basis. You can visit patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information about how you can support the show. I'm excited about doing another Elements episode because it's felt like a while.
It has been. We had the 24-hour thing.
We did. Didn't we do the Final Fantasy VII music recently?
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah.
But even before then, it's been sporadic here and there, but it's always good to come back to Elements, an episode we were able to do because of hitting certain milestones and goals on our Patreon page. This is one of those goals.
Yeah, and if you have not listened to one of these episodes before and have no idea what an Elements episode is, then welcome to the bandwagon. We're glad you're here for the next 50 of them. Elements is just our chance to take a slightly different look at a game. Instead of talking about all of the features of it, we want to just focus on one specific element of a game or game series, and we give ourselves the option of not necessarily living just in Retroland on these, though we often do games that or game series that have a longer sort of retro gaming history. But it's a chance for us to mix it up, focus on one game, go in depth, and just talk about one topic.
In 1999, Nintendo published their first game in this crossover fighting series. Unlike most fighting games of the time, the aim of this game was not just to deplete life bars, but to knock opponents off the stage. Another fun thing about this series is that the game brought in characters from other popular franchises. The roster of characters to choose from has grown from 12 in the first installment to a whopping, I think we're at 80 in the most recent installment.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, you didn't count far enough. We're at like 476 by now.
I believe that there's only been 5 games in the series, but it has spanned multiple Nintendo platforms, and we'll be referencing them all in this Elements episode. So, join us now as we talk about the characters of Super Smash Bros.
Smash Brothers is a really, 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 really big title now, especially with the recent release of Ultimate on the Switch. And up front, we wanted to make something very clear, and that thing is that we're not experts, and we're not claiming to be Super Smash Brothers professionals. I have the most experience with the series, with each game, so keep that in mind, I guess, and I'll try to help guide the conversation when these two old men don't know what we're talking about, but we don't know what we're talking about, so...
You do more than all of us, although I'm probably the best at the game, but, like, you primarily played Melee? That was your main one?
It's my favorite one, yeah.
Your favorite one.
It's the one I played the most, yeah.
Okay. So, yes to my question. Yeah, but we are going to be talking about all of the different Smash games, all 5 of them in this, just because a lot of the characters show up in multiple games. And then in Ultimate, we've discussed before, they asked which characters should be in this game, and they said yes. And it's literally every single one from the previous games and more.
Yep.
And a bunch more. It's a huge roster.
Yeah.
And that's part of why we wanted to talk about these characters of this game just in general. It's such a fun roster, and it's so fun, I think, that they did this whole characters from different worlds meeting and competing and fighting together, and just the whole sort of like universes collide premise is super fun, and so it makes it fun for us to just talk about some characters that stick out and that we like.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're not necessarily talking about like top tier characters. That's not what this is. You can find YouTube channels for that. They'll tell you what the best of the best is. And that changes with each patch, right? But and definitely with each game. We are talking about some of our favorite or some of the ones that are notable, not only because of how they're used in the game, which we'll talk about some. Nolan, you'll have to help us out with that a lot.
I got you.
But even just the characters themselves and where they come from, why we like them, those kinds of things. So you'll hear a lot of that in this game. You have your own favorites. We'd love to hear them, but this episode is some of ours.
And I think a great place to start is at the very beginning. You know, this game has grown over time, but my largest amount of experience was original Smash Brothers, like Smash Brothers on the 64. And so as we talked about characters, I knew I wanted to pick at least one character from the original roster. And so we will go with the character from the original roster that I played
so
the most.
Long to say the name of the
that
character.
You act like the setup is a bad thing. You spent like 5 minutes setting up this game before you dropped what Elements episode it was.
Still haven't said it.
Okay. We're going to be talking about Kirby to start.
He sucks.
You ruined his build-up.
You did ruin my buildup, and you just took the best joke there was, with terrible delivery.
I deflated you. I'm sorry.
You robbed my go-to joke, and you deflated the buildup.
Listen,
it's rude.
Why do you love Kirby so much, Kenny? It makes sense, first of all.
Okay.
But why do you love Kirby?
All right, so Kirby, like in general, like outside of Smash Brothers, is a fun character. The story of how he was created and this cute little blob, but then he can like suck people in and take their powers is just like a really, really cool concept. So he's always been fun to me. The reasons I was originally drawn to Kirby are actually kind of terrible ones. I'm not great at fighting games, and so I like to play really passively. And so really when I realized that Kirby could just like go up in the air yep. and float around for a really long time and sort of stay out of the battle and then literally drop in like a rock.
Stone, yeah.
A stone, yeah. As soon as he wanted to kind of jump in and get in on the action, but it was sort of on his terms, I was like, this is 100% the character that I need to be playing. And so he was my go-to. And while 80% of the time that means I literally just like flew above battles and tried to fall on people's heads and steal kills and was never very good at it, I did play enough of him over time to really appreciate just how good a character he is. And I kind of went through this whole thing of like, I like the character just because he fits my style, even though he's not that good of a character, to realizing he's actually a great character in this first game. Super strong, amazing, like well-balanced kit, and is considered one of the top characters sort of at that era. But he's also had a fun like history. If you watch him through the rest of the games, he's always small and fun, and in a couple of the games, super, super potent. And I love that he's been around the whole time, and I love his play style, and he just makes me really happy.
What's pretty cool about really the series and the decisions they made is how they gave exposure to other series, other Nintendo series. And I feel like Kirby was one of them for me. Like NES for sure, because like who's NES when the game came out?
That's the one that sticks out to me that people didn't even know of until
right.
this game.
But Kirby, I feel like for a lot of people, I mean, you knew Mario and you knew Link and Donkey Kong, but Kirby had some really awesome games. And what's really cool about every Smash that comes out is that it highlights one of those like under the radar series, and Kirby was that for me. And so I checked out Kirby's games afterwards.
It's interesting that it was that for you, and it had to be the age and everything, because for me, and I can't speak for all, but I think for me and people my age and above, like Kirby was well known at this time. For me, it was just as well known as Mario, like, and the games, especially because he had some handheld games. So like when I had my Game Boy and would play in the car on trips, it would be Kirby
some
games.
Great Kirby titles on there, for sure.
Oh, for sure. One of the things, though, Kenny, that absolutely you talked about his floating mechanic, his drop like a boulder. All of those are great. I mean, you can't like in the, when the name of the game is knock the opponent off the stage, and Kirby can just float back multiple times. Then that's super
yeah, it
nice.
Felt way too strong.
But Kenny, the thing that makes Kirby the absolute greatest, and I don't know if this actually is in the first game, but in the games that come after it, he can assume every single ability from the characters around him. He can ingest. Yeah. That's not what it's called. He can suck in.
He swallows them.
He sucks in the characters and then takes their ability and
absolutely.
To some degree and is able
takes
to use
button
them
button
that ability.
Move.
It's
yeah.
totally his signature, but it's especially fun in this game just because most of your people have sort of one standard kit and there's not a lot of variety. And he's one of the few characters that, especially if you're not playing with like items or random kinds of things, can, depending who he's fighting, have different abilities than other times and who he's fighting. And there's just some like cool strategy there. And it's so Kirby. I don't know. I love that uniqueness too.
My favorite thing with Kirby is always just Kirby's side though. When you can suck up someone and just fall, can't you? And
yeah,
like kill both of you.
Kills both of
it's
you.
It's Kirby's side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny.
The character that I'm going to talk about was first introduced in the second Smash Brothers title, Super Smash Brothers Melee. That's my favorite game, and this is my favorite character in all the series. That character is Marth from Fire Emblem. This character, when the game came out, it was an unlockable character. So like you had to meet certain requirements in order to unlock Marth. And so when you unlocked Marth, you're like, who's this chick? And me and my friends were like,
that's such a fair question.
We were like, what game is this guy from?
Yeah.
And my obsession, we've talked about it on recent episodes, my obsession with Fire Emblem the series is because of this guy.
Well, and
because
you're not the only one. Like, this is North sure. America, for the most part, North America's introduction to the Fire Emblem series.
Yeah, so we had FE7 on Game Boy Advance. That was, like, the first Fire Emblem game in the States, like, that you could play on handheld. And that was around the same time, I think.
Yeah,
but
I think
yeah,
so.
But yeah, this was the first, like, what's Fire Emblem? Let me check this out. And so thank you, Smash Brothers, for introducing me. But not only that, in Melee... Melee was, just some backstory here, it was incredibly competitive. The mechanics in that game were 10 times faster than the first game,
so
and it was
good,
noticeable.
Yeah.
And so the community did some crazy things, and that's still probably the most famous and biggest game competitively, and Marth was a top-tier character. He had a sword. No other character, well, Link had a sword, and gosh, Roy, he was another Fire Emblem character, but like most characters are fighting with their fists and up close, but Marth had a distance between you and the enemy, and so that opens up a whole new world of possibilities competitively, but also casually, and Marth is just so, like, he's all of those things for me, and in every game I've played him, at least as a secondary, if he wasn't, like, super good, I still had him in rotation, and I love his design, too. Like, he looks like a chick, and kind of, his character's not great in the games, come to find out, like, he's kind of annoying, but he's still pretty cool. It's Marth.
The way that his sword works is different than just the other swords in the game.
You want to get into that?
Not deep, but
no, you're right.
The sword does a different amount of damage depending on which part strikes the opponent. So,
and knockback.
Yes, but so like if you hit it with the broad part, it's less damage. But if you really focus on just hitting it with the end of the sword, then it does exponential amounts of damage.
It's called Marth's Tipper. And yeah, like the point of the game, obviously knock your character off. Well, maybe not obvious if you haven't played it, but you want to blast them off away as far as possible. And so if you have a lot of damage on them, hit them with the Marth Tipper, they go flying. And so it's just a unique trait.
So why Marth and not Roy?
Ooh. Good question. Roy is worse, competitively speaking and mechanic-wise. So he does not have a tipper on his sword, which, boo, the tipper is OP, and that's what makes Marth so good. Roy's a really cool design. My friend Greg, actually, the real answer here, I grew up with my best friend Greg, and we played this game. I mained Marth, he mained Roy, and we had duels. That was our rivalry, is Marth versus Roy. And so I couldn't be Roy. That was his character. And, you know, the flame sword and the different voice lines and stuff. And so that, I guess that's kind of why Marth and not Roy, but it's also because Roy kind of sucks.
It's fun that you guys played sort of both styles of people from the same universe and that are somewhat similar.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of good memories.
Marth's Tipper. The first character that I would like to talk about, insert big buildup here, is Meta Knight.
Who?
This is the...
That sounds like a Pokemon name when you just say it.
It does. And I'm fine with that. It's the dark Kirby. It's Ooh. Kirby that's cool.
Okay.
Kirby ain't cool. Kirby's cute.
Kirby's cute. Yeah,
Kirby is the coolest dude on the block.
Not cool. Bro. Kirby is cute
completely.
And Meta Knight is cool and curvy. I don't know. I was trying to go with C words. But I knew of Meta Knight before Smash, and I've always liked his look. He is this dark Kirby-esque character, but he's in knight armor. And he's got these massive purple pauldrons. He's got this like flaming eccentric sword that he uses as well. He's got these like bat wings that he flies around on. And I knew of him before Smash, but I hadn't played the Kirby games that he was on. I believe that he first showed up in Kirby's Adventure, which was the second second Kirby game, and it was for the NES in 1993. So that was his first introduction, and he was kind of always this, is it Zero in the X-Men series? Who's the red guy?
In the X-Men series?
The X-Men X or X-Zero? What?
You mean Mega Man? That's Mega Man X games?
Did I say
Zero.
Did I say X-Men?
You said X-Men.
I hate me.
I was so trying to think of mutant that was
in the
like
Mega Man series.
Inverse
what is it?
Clone.
What is
Zero.
It? Zero. Yeah,
or
so I was
Proto
right.
Man. I don't know what you're thinking of.
No, Zero. And I think he was introduced in a similar way in that like you don't know if he's good or bad, and you fight him a couple times, but then he helps you a couple times. That's kind of how Meta Knight was introduced to the series. And so when he was brought into Smash, they brought him in as a similar in like shape and size to Kirby, but a totally different kind of move set. In fact, he was so good, I believe, at the beginning alone in the SS tier, the double S tier, and is considered the first broken character in Super Smash Bros.
So broken. And that was back in the days when they didn't patch the game. It was Brawl, came out on a disc. We had internet,
right,
but like they
Brawl.
Didn't.
This is Brawl. I think that's what we're saying. I don't know if we did.
Yeah, it was Brawl. And he's so broken. And he was broken, and Ice Climbers in that game were broken. And everyone hated Meta Knight, but I always thought he was pretty cool.
I always picked him because of his look, because he was quick, and because he was small. So those things kind of helped. And he was kind
of. And also, you probably won a lot. Well, and think that makes you good at this game.
Well, sure. If there is a broken character, I'm going to exploit that. Like, what?
Learn to adapt, but you can't adapt. It's that broken, but fair
He's
enough.
So fast. He has so much recovery. He does so much damage. All of those things worked really well for me. And then, again, just add on top of that, this really cool-looking character, and that's just got so much appeal for me. I love Meta Knight.
I will say that sword is the coolest looking thing in the whole world, but it would actually make a terrible, terrible sword. The, like, prongs coming off the side of it and it not just being a sword, I don't know.
Science.
One of the few things cooler than a pointy, spiky sword is getting to see one of your favorite games, and in that game, one of your most, like, mysterious and iconic characters get to exist and be played a little bit. And so I want to talk about the role of Sheik in the Smash Brothers universe.
She's from Zelda.
Sheik, if you're not familiar, is from Zelda. Pretty much Ocarina of Time. There's, I think, some like references in other games to the character, and you get to play a lot of the like Sheikah as well, but I don't think you see a lot of this character specifically.
Does she show up in Majora's Mask, Nolan?
No. Aww. It's only Ocarina of Time. Sheikah is like a people.
It's like the race. Yeah. And they're represented in all of them. You get who like Impa and a few of the others. And then some in the newest one as well. But Sheik is interesting because she is not just a like mysterious Sheik character that shows up and helps you, but it's also implied, I guess said, it's left a little more ambiguous in the game, I think, that Sheik is actually Princess Zelda.
Oh my spoilers. Gosh, dude.
In disguise.
No, what it's very blatant in the game, yeah. It's like,
yeah, no, it's very, like...
Yeah. Oh, totally.
It's a big reveal, though, and you're not supposed to know for a while. And if you didn't know going into it, you could be fooled, because totally different character models.
Oh yeah, completely. Sure. And, like... Yeah, totally this, like, tough-looking, ninja warrior-esque kind
guy.
Of Sheik. Yeah, guy. Like, it really... She really is... Zelda is really trying to hide her identity, including her gender. And so there's actually been a whole bunch of confusion as people talk about Sheik and refer to it as her or him or all of those things. But it's clearly Zelda, just, like...
Yes.
In an alter ego
ninja
of
Zelda.
Whatever kind. And
ninja
so,
Zelda.
Yeah. It's Ninja Zelda. And what's fun to me... is that because of that, one, it's fun because it's a cool character, and I, you know, absolutely love Ocarina of Time. But two, it's super fun that when Sheik got introduced to the game, it was as an alternate mode of playing Princess Zelda. So it's one character, and you can swap between being Zelda and being Sheik. Introduced that way in Melee, I believe, wasn't in the first one. And then as the series got later on, they went, okay, we can separate this one character into a couple of different characters, make them each their own thing, which is super fun. And so just that evolution of the story was kind of interesting. And then just the play style of the character being like real fast, ninja-y, super reactive, getting yourself out of rough situations is kind of a fun one to me, even if it's not real effective. I think in my mind, some of the heavier hitters that can KO are probably better at the game. But it's a fun play style and nothing like throwing a Deku Nut and disappearing to just make me a happy boy.
Now, an ultimate and probably other games, they are Zelda and Sheik are two totally different selectable characters.
Right.
How do they differ now, Nolan? Are they just completely different in everything?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely. They've always been so different. Like, what's interesting about Sheik in Melee when she was introduced was that it was Zelda, you picked Zelda and hit her down B special and she turned into Sheik and you have a completely different set of moves. So it was two characters and Sheik
was top
tier.
Basically got two for one.
Sheik was top tier in Melee, and what you can do is on the character select screen when you choose Zelda, if you hold the button down, like you choose A and you hold A, you'll start as Sheik in the fight, and so that's kind of like a little secret.
That's cool.
And helpful, because not only was Sheik good, but her Zelda form was especially bad. And so I'm sure people that like wanted to specifically play the one, and even that's kind of funny and I think intentional, because it plays into that whole like, oh, I'm a helpless princess. Just kidding. I'm this.
I'll cut your face off.
awesome. Like Sheikah warrior. And you're not going to know who I am. It's really neat how they did it.
Let's talk Wario.
Wario. Yes, let's.
Yeah, Wario. Let's. Oh, that was really bad. So Wario is a really fun character in general. I've always been a really big fan of him. He was introduced in Mario Land on the Game Boy. Mario Land 2, actually.
Mario Land 2, yeah. Got six
we
golden
it.
Points, which is an amazing game.
We
it
played
is.
It.
Yeah,
we did,
go listen to the episode.
So
it was a
pumped.
Fun one. And when he was introduced in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, that was pretty hype, and I think unexpected for a lot of people, including myself. That game introduced a lot of villains, thinking back, like Meta Knight, Wario. So Wario, his moveset is perfect, because his personality, if you've played any of his games, is very crude and gross and anti-Mario. Like, he's the opposite of Mario. And so... But not like in a villainous way like Bowser, just more of in a troll way. Like he's a straight up troll character, and I love that. I love trolls. So he has a fart move, to give you perspective. His down B in that game is a fart that stores up throughout the stage. So you start the level, it'd be weak if you used it. It'd be like a little squeak.
I don't approve of the F word on our podcast, by the way.
Too bad. But at the like, if you wait a few minutes in the fight, you build up a fart and you start glowing.
Can we say
and
poot?
That move becomes so strong. I'm not saying poot. Wario is so funny.
Such a terrible word too.
And again, really cool how adding a character to a giant fighting game like this will add some exposure to their series. And Wario games are so good. WarioWare and Wario Land, I recommend all those games. But Wario was my main in Brawl and is my secondary to this day. Like, he's one of my secondary characters. He's actually he's a really good character.
I remember watching you play him a lot. And for being a relatively small frame, doesn't he have a lot of weight to him? Like,
yeah, he's got a lot of weight. He's just, like, hefty. And
hard
so,
to
like,
get him
yeah.
off the stage.
Hard to
yeah.
kill him.
Yeah. He's hefty. He's tiny. He doesn't seem like he'd be a good character, but he's actually kind of quick when you get down to like the details of like what his combos are, like his grabs and stuff. And he has a motorcycle that helps him get back to stage and runs people over, and then he can pick it up and throw it. He can eat the motorcycle to get health back. Like, he's just such a fun, like,
he can eat anti-hero. The motorcycle.
Yeah. You can, yeah. Like Kirby, his B move is a chomp that if you're close to him, he'll bite you and start chomping on you, and you have to mash to get out of it. But you can use that move to eat the bike as well, and other items.
That's really funny.
We haven't even talked about it in other characters, but I wonder for him in particular, don't they all have taunts? Do you recall
yes.
what Wario's taunt is?
Wah, wah, wah! And he, like, does spins and stuff, and I think maybe one's a fart. He does, like, he does break dancing. It's one of his...
Nolan, you said it was totally unexpected, like him being in the game, but they gave the outfit to Mario as a palette swap in
they
the
did.
Original ones. Like, they
yeah,
clearly
like
had him on their mind as an option. Although, interestingly enough, in Melee, like Dr. Mario, but not Wario.
Yeah, they've been all over the place. So you usually can't expect what they're going to do, except now they just said yes to everything.
Yeah, now the answer is include it.
They said yes to everything except, so Wario being the evil version of Mario, fans for a long time have wanted Waluigi, and they're still not getting it.
Yeah, it's still a meme. I think we'll get it because it's so big. Because we got Ridley and King Krool, both of those were giant memes. Like, they're never going to add them. They added
I don't
both
think
of
they
them.
Will.
I do.
Oh,
I think they'll wait
sure.
until the next game, or and maybe wait know. Until I don't know the popularity tapers off or
something. The next game will be Melee HD Remake. Mark my words. So I think Waluigi's going in this game, and I think the next game's Melee HD Remake.
And then the final character we're going to talk about in my second pick is a character named Little Mac. He's Oop. Not good. I don't know if he's ever been viable in this game, but he's always caught my attention for a couple reasons. One, he's a true retro character. We haven't.
Yeah.
I don't believe that we played his game in our podcast yet, but I'm longing for the opportunity to, because it was one of the games that I played growing up and really enjoyed it. He first appeared in 1984's Punch-Out, and that is 2 exclamation points, by the way, that first came out for the arcade and then the NES, and then there's Super Punch-Out. I think the most recent iteration was a Wii version. There's like 4 or 5 games in the series, but they're either called Punch-Out or Super Punch-Out. Like, they all have the same names.
Mike Tyson, Super Punch-Out.
And is he the only character in all of Smash that is from our world? Like,
I see what you mean.
He is a human in our world. He's from the Bronx.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he is.
I mean, it depends how you define that, I guess.
Have you seen Bowser before? Maybe. Have you seen Sonic? What are you talking about?
Sonic lives down the street from me.
I mean, there's other characters that are pretty, like, human.
Sure, there's
but
humans.
He's talking
humans
about,
come from
like,
different planets.
U.S. Like...
Not even just U.S. Like, Marth is not from Earth, planet Earth.
No, I'm saying, like, the Bronx, like, locally is what he's talking about, like, a real place.
Kenny's just being difficult. He's the only character that I can recall that is actually from our planet Earth. He's from the Bronx. He stands at 5'7", so he's a tiny boy, and he weighs 107 pounds, so he's super lightweight, although... That's in the video games. I don't know how that translates here. I think he's probably a little bit heavier, but I know that he's hard to play. Like, he's not the most intuitive. He's not the easiest. He's not like a beginner's not going to pick him up and be good with him. Because
I mean, the whole idea is he's a boxer in a game called Punch Out, and so they made him really strong, like when you're on the ground and close to somebody and in
but
like,
that's about
melee
it.
Range
yeah.
with that stuff. But when he gets into the strategic stuff and the in the air stuff and all the things, like he just isn't good.
Well, like
I don't even know.
Right,
he
like
sucks.
He doesn't have recovery. I don't think he kicks at all, so it's just with his fist what he does, you know?
Yep.
And so
if you knock him off the stage,
he's done.
Done for. He can do a side B that gives like a horizontal gap close that if he didn't have that, oh my goodness, why is he in the game? But without even with that, like that up close, like really powerful up close style is, yeah, true, but it's so easy to counter, like if you just know what you're doing, and I don't know, hate to break it to you.
But one of the things that drew me to him is although he is hard to play, he packs quite the punch.
The knockout punch?
Literally.
And like in Punch Out, I think specifically the original arcade version, Little Mac has, in this game, a power meter. I enjoy and am drawn to any character in Smash that has some kind of gimmick or has some kind of like differentiation, not just to their moveset, but to their setup in general. And Little Mac is one of those that has this power meter over his, like the health percentages. Mm-hmm. And as you land hits, his power meter fills up until you can do this massive KO punch that does a lot of damage. And if you time it right and plan it right and hit it, then you're probably going to take a life from your opponent.
Yeah. And it like the camera zooms in and slow-mos for a second and everything if you land it. It's a nice gimmick. And I like that they added that because he needs it in his kit, but also just the nod to the game is always cool. I agree with you. When a character has something that's like different or like unique to their or a call out to their game, I'm a pretty big fan of that.
Yeah, and they do such a good job of that in this series in general of making every character feel like their character and having skills and abilities from their universe. And I think the respect for what's made these characters interesting characters, not just these six characters that we like for some reason and wanted to talk about, but all of the characters that they've chosen, they do such a good job of making them relatively unique. With 80 some odd characters, you get some pretty much just like variations of the same theme by the time you get into Ultimate. But for the most part, really unique, dynamic, different characters that are relatively balanced considering how big a roster it is. I mean, there's clearly tiers there. And I don't know, it's a really fun universe, and I think it's fun to get to talk about some of our favorites.
And although there's 80-some in Ultimate right now, or according to Kenny, like 400-something, I think you
452
said.
452.5.
Yeah. So some of you might even be like, Dustin didn't say Cloud? Actually, like, when he came out, I was like, oh, man, this is who I'm going to play. But I've never been good at him in
He's
that
so
game.
He's so good.
Does he have a limit break?
He does. That's amazing. And it's really strong. He's a really good, like, overall character. He's got a lot of great... just basics.
I mean, that's cool. There's Pokemon. There's characters from some incredible series. There's like even most recently or pretty recently, Banjo and Kazooie. A lot of retro
that's
characters,
crazy.
Which is super, super cool. Star Fox, all of those things. But there's still many characters that have not yet been included. So I kind of want to just end this episode with one final question for all three of us. What character would you like to see added to the Smash roster, either as a DLC or in a future installment? What is one character that you would like to see added?
I have always wanted, well, not always, but Shovel Knight, right? Shovel Knight came out, it's an indie game that came out, I don't know, 2014, 2015. And I love the game, first of all, and I love the character, and I think the character would fit so well into Smash. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll get it. He's in the game already, technically, as a trophy, and so like an assist
precludes it.
Yeah, it just kind of like if you're an assist trophy, you're not going to be a main character is basically what that means. So that's unfortunate. I've always thought that like with his shovel, you could have so many unique like setups and stuff, and I'll since I know he can't, I'm also gonna throw in, and this is super recent, but Marina from Mischief Makers. All right, that's it.
No, that's super recent.
That's super recent, but I stand by it. It's so good.
No, that's a terrible answer. But since you gave two, I'm also going to give two suggestions.
Okay.
You do.
So here's the two. One, I think you're right. They respect some of these old classic characters, and I think they ought to do a shout out to another classic NES series that doesn't have representation.
Uh-oh.
And so one of my suggestions is Billy Lee. Anybody?
Anybody? Is that Newspaper Boy?
No, that is Double Dragon.
It should have been Billy. Yeah. It should have been the guy from Paperboy.
That would also be a really great answer, and yeah, I would totally play that character. 100%. But no, Double Dragon was a fun beat-em-up. I think it's like classic NES fare. That's one of those that totally takes me back. I remember even watching the movie, which is terrible, and liking it as a kid, so judge me for that. I just think it would be a fun character for them to include.
And?
And I think this is the one you guys will both agree with. You have to. Now that they've opened up the Final Fantasy universe with the inclusion of Cloud, they've got to throw a Chocobo in there.
A Chocobo
like,
character?
As a playable character?
Yes.
Dude,
Chocobo as a playable character.
I mean, Piranha Plant's a playable character.
Exactly.
So like,
they've been okay with weird things, and they've been okay with super iconic things. They could do some really funny stuff.
You can have different colors.
Good
like,
stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Golden Chocobo.
Interesting.
Black Chocobo.
Those are good thoughts. My answer, I will give two or three or four or whatever, but I've always wanted Crash Bandicoot or Spyro. We don't have to do both. I don't know how Spyro would work, but it could work. But Crash Bandicoot would most certainly work.
Well, I mean, it would need to be Crash because Spyro's game sucks.
That's actually false, and y'all are evil for doing that. But both of those could easily be included in the series, I could actually see one of them, if not both of them, at some point being in the series.
Crash would be fun.
But also, I thought that we need some representation from a Super Nintendo RPG.
Chrono Trigger?
There's many different characters that could be in there, but what if Frog from Chrono
Trigger?
Dude,
yes.
That'd be a good one.
Like better. That would be better than Chrono to me. That would be so good.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. He's way better fit for this type of game.
That would be amazing.
They should. That'd be
or
so
Blitzcrank.
Good. That's not his name. It's Robo.
From League of Legends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're thinking the robot in Chrono Trigger?
Yeah. I was like, Blitzcrank.
Let us know who you think would be a good introduction into the series, a character that you would like to play, and maybe that you even think one day would be added to the roster. You could do that by just joining us on Discord. We can talk about this in our Discord channel.
Yeah, we'd also love to hear some of your favorites. We only had time to talk about six of them, but there's so many, and they've done such a great job in this series of keeping these fun classic characters intact and keeping them fun and competitive, and we'd love to hear who you like to play. So come in and give us a shout out.
We hope that you've enjoyed this bonus episode, Characters of Super Smash Bros. Brothers.
Brother.
What about the Hulk?
The Hulk would be good.
We thanked our patrons at the top of the episode, but want to give a special shout out to our producers for making this happen. Antonin, Ben, Bill, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Grim, Corey, Maxima, Zach, and Zion. Thank you guys for your abundant support. Until next time, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been another bonus episode of New Game Plus Bros. Smash.